Good morning, happy new year, everybody, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Lynn S., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. Today is Friday, January the 2nd, 2026, and we are continuing our study of the Big Book. We're in Bill's story on page 11, the fourth paragraph. Had this power originated in him? And this was none at all. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Tenzin T, 12 Traditions, Mary B, and readers of the text, Judith S.P., Tamara C., and Katie G. The reference numbers for yesterday, Thursday, January the 1st, 2026, the 7 a.m. meeting, 23078, and the 10 a.m. meeting, 23079. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And this morning, Tenzin T is going to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Tenzin.
Good morning. Tenzin P. checking in, normally New York, but I'm in Puebla, Mexico. Okay, here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you very much. Wishing everyone a blessed day.
Thank you, Tenzin P. And Mary B. is going to read the 12 traditions. Welcome, Mary.
Good morning. Thank you for all your service. This is Mary B. from Kansas. 12 traditions. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one purpose, one primary purpose, to carry its message to compulsive overeaters who still suffer. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary B. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today we're resuming our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 11 of Bill's story. The fourth paragraph, had this power originated in me? And this morning, Judith S.P. is going to read for us. Good morning, Judith.
Good morning, Lynn. Good morning, Vision. My name is Judith S.P., gratefully recovered for this moment. Thank you, God, in Maryland. Had this power originated in him? Obviously, it had not. There had been no more power in him than there was in me at that minute, and this was none at all. I love the fact that as we've turned to 2026, God has been encouraging me to keep it simple and to keep it very, very pure. And it's wonderful to read a paragraph with so much in it that's only 3 lines long. And when I look at the paragraph above, I've highlighted a lot of the defeatist and the failed. His human will had failed. Doctors pronounced him incurable. Like myself, he admitted complete defeat. And when he came into these rooms and really took hold of the fact that I couldn't do anything for myself that would bring me out of the scrap heap, I tried and I tried and I couldn't do it. And in desperation, I did ask God to help me find a vision sponsor and find a way out of the hell that was much self-imposed, but it was like crazy glue. I just couldn't unglue myself. And coming into these rooms, I've learned such an incredible amount. However, it's not only the learning, it's the application of the learning that's critical for me. It's one thing to be on a vision meeting, which I'm so grateful for, and to be able to share words of how this paragraph is touching me. But it's another thing for me to say, okay, how am I going to apply this in the moments of my day, this God-given day, which is really a full lifetime? And how I'm going to do it is turn to my higher power, that power that originates inside me and all around me, and let my ego, let my disease thinking take a long sabbatical. Because when I speak with and I meet and I connect with other fellows in recovery, I see the light that shines in them. I see the ability to get on the phone with somebody that I don't even know. We've never spoken before, and we almost instantaneously get right to the heart and soul of what's on our hearts and souls with each other. And, you know, Bill was sitting with Ebby for a long time. I don't know how many hours they were together. I'm not a historian, but it seems like from Bill's recollection that a lot happened in the conversations they were having. And for me, I know the power that is needed in my life to keep me going in my recovery, to, as Dr. Bob has said, trust God, clean house, and serve others. This is my usefulness. This is my purpose. And I will tell you, as an eyewitness to my own life, that power has not originated in Judith. It has originated in my God. And for this, I'm truly grateful. Thank you for letting me share, and have a blessed day.
Thank you, Judith S.T. The line is now open for sharing on what we just read. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share too. So if you shared on Wednesday or Thursday, please step back and let others have their turn. And please say your name just once. It does help me hear everybody. Who would like to share?
Tamara C.
Anybody else? Cheryl L. Is that Cheryl?
Tony B.
Yes, it is. Cheryl L.,
okay.
Florida.
All right, I've got Tamara C., Cheryl L., Tony B.
Aya P.
Virginia T.
Okay, there was somebody P, and then there was Virginia T. Who was the P lady, please?
Aya. I'm in. Aya?
Aya
P.
Okay.
Yeah.
Larry K.
Nancy P.
Okay, great. I've got our lineup now. I just heard those last few people. There we go. Tamara C., Cheryl L., Tony B., Haya P., Virginia T., Larry K., and Nancy P. All righty. Good morning, Tamara. Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. Good morning, everyone. This is Tamara C., grateful to be a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in Missouri. No power at all in me. I have no power at all to raise myself from a scrap heap to a better life. And no power at all to be able to stop eating. I proved to myself that I have no power at all to control my eating by trying really, really hard for a long, long time, many years of doing that research. Do I have the power to control this? What if I get just the right diet? What if I track all my food? What if I weigh and measure? What if I am more determined, somehow find more willpower? And it was amazing to me that I could start out in the morning so full of determination. Either I'm going to give myself a pep talk, or I'm going to scare myself into doing this, or bully myself, or shame myself. I am going to make this happen. I will find it within me to control and enjoy my food today. And it would be amazing to me that just a short time later, I would be thinking, how did I lose it? What happened to all that determination? That's baffling. And I thought it was the worst news. It would be the worst news ever that I could not control, that I had no power. Because I thought, A, that means I'm a terrible person with no willpower. I can't even control how much I eat. And B, I'm doomed. There are only two possibilities. Either I figure out how to get some willpower, or I'm going to live a life of misery and defeat and suffering and hopelessness. So I also have no power in me at all to create that rearrangement in myself that I need to have a better life. I can't make myself have a better attitude or be less self-centered or fearful or angry. I can't find satisfaction and happiness and peacefulness. And I proved that to myself as well through a great deal of effort, reading self-help books and journaling and a lot of even prayer and meditation, but just not understanding myself. I needed the steps. And so no power at all in me to be like Ebby, that fresh-skinned and glowing with something in his eyes. So today, for peace with the food and peace with myself and the world, I must find a power that does not originate in me. And of course, the wonderful news is that Ebby found a power that changed him, and so did Bill and Roseanne and my sponsor, and
time, please.
He's available to all of us. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you, Tamara C. from Missouri. And next up is Cheryl L. Welcome, Cheryl.
Thank you, Lynn. Good morning, everyone. My name is Cheryl L. I'm calling from Florida this morning. So grateful to be on this meeting and to be reading Bill's story. You know, when I look at the paragraph that precedes, you know, this, what we've read this morning, it says that, you know, Bill had been raised from, Ebby had been raised from the dead, taken from the scrap heap to a level of life better than the best he had ever known. You know, what was Bill seeing? He was seeing a miracle. And, you know, and I, you know, I see a miracle. I see a miracle here. You know, Ebby had been rescued from the depths of his disease. And what was he doing now? He was doing a life of service. He was fulfilling a life of service. He was fulfilling God's purpose. God's purpose. You know, and that's what I'm sitting with today. Had this power originated in him? There was no power in me. You know, like the previous speaker, I had tried for, you know, for 4 years after relapse to get myself back on track, you know, back into a reasonable way of living with food without doing this program, because I thought I had tried. You know, I've come across some journals lately that have really pointed out to me that I gave it a nominal try, but I wasn't willing to do everything that I needed to do. I wasn't willing to completely surrender, you know, to this higher power. I needed to become desperate. And when that opportunity finally was presented to me, you know, I had that decision to make and the fork in the road and which way am I going to go. And the way that I chose to go finally with God's help was down this path. And I need to keep looking at that power, not just for my food, not just for my other, you know, my other substances. I had to look at it for the way that I conduct myself on a daily basis. You know, my purpose is to fulfill God's purpose. And his purpose for me is to have a life that is, you know, happy, joyous, and free. And I walk a free woman today. And I'm so grateful for that. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Cheryl L. from Florida. Next up is Tony B., followed by Haya P. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning, Lynn, and good morning, everybody. My name is Tony B., and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater living in Scotland. Thank you, Judith, for your lead. And, it's a small paragraph, but it's a powerful one. So what it was making me think was this power originated in him. So here Ebby is sitting, and Bill knows this man. You know, he knows him well, and he knows his circumstances, which are that he's gone right down and almost being committed. And then he comes and sits in front of him and is this living example. And I got those examples, particularly when I came into this meeting, of real recovery, of people who are living a life that was really worthwhile, and not having to eat. You know, I couldn't stop eating compulsively. Ebby couldn't stop drinking. Bill knew that. Bill couldn't stop drinking. He knew that. He knew he was on the edge of complete defeat and going into the gates of insanity and death. And then look, it's a living example, and that's what I can now carry and be to others who are looking for a way out. I haven't compulsively overeaten, you know, for 3 years. That's myself, and I've found recovery on a daily basis. If I keep doing it, keep passing it on, which is what Ebby is doing here, and showing Bill that, then, you know, there's a new life that's possible, not our own power. And it's important because the ego regrows. So I better be sure that I'm not doing this myself. I mean, I can do some things myself. I can be sure to put the work in on a daily basis. And, you know, in a sense, I'm doing that. But this, having the obsession to eat removed, that's a God job. There was no way, and my mind always took me back again. So I'll leave it there, Lynn. Thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass. I love you all.
Thank you, Tony V from Scotland. And now we have Haya P, followed by Virginia P. And Haya, where are you calling from, please?
I'm on the list as Colorado.
Good morning. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Lynn. Hi, everybody. My name is Haya P., very grateful, compulsive overeater, and a bunch of other layers of our lovely compulsive overeating way that we can be. I am really, really grateful to be here this morning. And historically, this is the time of year when a lot of new people come to OA, and I just want to welcome anyone who's new. And new to OA or new to this meeting or new to or just been struggling in the rooms, there really are miracles here. And you're really we're here for you. That's why we're here. So I really love this. It's what I thought of when we read this morning was just like that spark of humility that enters. It's like that little flash of humility. Is it possible that didn't, you know, he's questioning like, whoa, is it possible that this did not, could this have originated in him? It's really a sense of humility. And I always share, almost always share when I talk, when I like tell my, especially if we're talking about anything related to higher power, which is basically the whole program, is, you know, that I ran out of my first meeting because they talked about God, because that's not what I was looking for when I got here, and it was just not part of my language, and why would we talk about God? I couldn't stop eating and sticking my finger down my throat, and so I had to come to believe, and that's what's happening here for him. He's in this coming to, is it possible? And I had to go through that, and I think probably, you know, my experience of just knowing so many people in the program, for, you know, for a long time is like, we all have to do that, whether we grew up with a God consciousness of any kind, whether we grew up with a religion, whether we grew, and if we didn't, that each one of us has to, well, I'll just say for myself, you know, or that we have a step two, you know, we have step one is I can't do this. And the fact that he knew that Ebby couldn't stay sober and was sober, made him question his, and not just the sobriety, but the sparkle in his eye and the sense of really, really, really shift, a real shift and change and hope, you know, that starts. And that's the beauty of this, is that I'll just end with this. I just talked about this recently on a video I made. When I was very new in program, a woman, and I was really having to like come to believe and figure, like really wrestle with this. This woman said to me, don't put blinders on God. Don't limit God. Don't put blinders. You know, like she put up her hands around her eyes. Like you can only see this, but the higher power is so much bigger. And I think this is the beginning of that process of saying, wait a second, is my short view, is it possible that that's all there is? Or is it possible that there's something bigger than that? And I'm just grateful that even though I ran out of my first meeting because we talked about a God and a higher power, I'm really, really glad that I came back. And I'm really glad that that is what this program is about. Thank you.
Thank you, Haya P. Next up is Virginia T, followed by Larry K. Please go ahead, Virginia.
Good morning. This is Virginia T from Texas. What struck me in this paragraph is the one in the middle. He said, obviously it had not. Bill knew this guy. They'd gone on a jag together and drank he knew this guy drank like he did. And I'll bet, you know, in their drunken doldrums, they were sitting there going, oh man, I shouldn't be drinking, whatever. The way we do when we get satiated, the way I did when I got satiated, when I had too much to eat. And I said, oh man, I can't believe I ate that whole thing, right? Oh, well, didn't know anything else.
Virginia, we lost you there. Virginia, please press star 1 to unmute. Okay, I think we've lost Virginia. Larry K., would you like to go ahead then, please?
That's weird. You heard me at first, though, right?
Yeah, okay, Virginia, please keep going. Yep.
Oh, wow. Okay. I'm done now. I don't know where you stopped hearing me.
Okay, well, thank you, Virginia.
Thank you
very much, Virginia T. from Texas. Okie dokie, Larry K., please go ahead, followed by Nancy P. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, Lynn. It's Larry K., a recovered compulsive overeater from Chicago. So we read, had this power originated in him? Obviously, it had not. You know, when I first got to OA, look, you're not going to bamboozle me into embracing, you know, the hypocritical religion of my childhood, or worse, the religion of your childhood. That's even worse. So, you know, I'm fat. And my car that I just parked out, you know, outside the meeting here, it's littered with bakery boxes and cellophane bags. And I got all four food groups somewhere in that car. Evidence of it anyway. So don't talk to me about religion or its cousin spirit trying to do here. You know, the bottom line is the concept of recognizing that there's a power greater than human power was very difficult for me, and I was making a rough going of it. I don't know if there's anyone else in the line that was too. I needed some other understanding of this deal. You know, I needed to, moving away from religion or theology, you know, there were folks that helped me to understand about aligning my actions with a greater power, metaphorically speaking. And you know, and they gave me ideas like the ocean and the raft. That was a good one. You know, think of this power as the ocean. And your will, Larry, it's like the raft. You want to navigate effectively your raft needs to be aligned with the current of the ocean. It's a power much greater than you. When you move with the current, you can access the ocean's energy. When you're not moving with the current, forget about it. There was another one, the sun and the solar panel. You know, imagine the divine source is the sun and your alignment as the solar panel. When you position the panel correctly, well, it's going to capture the sunlight. It's going to convert it into energy. I could get with that. Yeah, that makes sense. So similarly, when your will is aligned with the divine, you can harness its power for growth, for inspiration. You can do all sorts of things that you didn't think were possible. I needed metaphors. I needed the roots in a tree, the tree drawing nourishment from the earth through its roots. See, I needed these metaphorical, a metaphorical understanding of this stuff, because when you start talking about, yeah, I can't, my clothes are tight. I'm miserable. My life's a mess. Yeah, for sure. I can understand that. But when you start talking to me about a power greater than me and la-di-da-di-da and life's going to be wonderful, I'm miserable. Can't connect with that. I need to just start with some metaphors of accessing this power that didn't drip with spirituality, and for me, where I was, religion. And that was tremendously helpful. And as I began to work the steps, things began to change. My thinking changed. My behaviors began to change. I began to transform. Something helped me to transform. That was helpful to me. Perhaps it will be for you as well. Thanks, Lynn. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Larry K. from Chicago. And now we have Nancy P. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning, Lynn. Good morning, everybody. Nancy P. recovered in West Newton, Massachusetts. I'm going to start my timer. So I'm going to focus on that word, obviously, as well as somebody else did. I mean, obviously it did not. Anytime it says obviously, this is three or four times in between the doctor's opinion and working with others where they use the word obviously. And I want to come out of the closet and say, anytime it says obvious, it's never obvious to Nancy P. When I came in, finally, I mean, I've been in this program for a really long time, and when I finally started my journey to, you know, my current recovery, which is now 8 years old, I felt still like, especially after I dialed into this meeting and everybody was so healthy and sharing things that were so relevant and not just talking about, I don't know, whatever they talked about before. And my cat has to look out the window. I just felt like I was a day late and a dollar short, always on the outside looking in and always thinking, how come her and not me? How come them and not me? And the problem that I had and that I still have to be very watchful about is the idea that I want to be places instead of get places. And today I understand that the journey itself is my destination. I have no goal in mind. I don't have, you know, my relationship with food is not a goal. Whoops. It's not a goal. The relationship that I have with food is not a goal. It's a product. It's a starting point. And that, I have a healthy relationship with it, and I never think about it, and I don't hide, sneak, cheat, lie, pick, or lick anymore. So I'm good with that. And it says, too, that, you know, had this power originated in him, the good news was that, you know, I could see. I was still in the trembling, stepped from the hospital, a broken man phase. I was still trembling, you know, at this point in time. And but the good news was that I saw a path, and somebody that I asked to sponsor me who had recovery that I respected and wanted for myself agreed to help me, and I did every single thing I was told to do immediately and as hard as I could, with no questions asked. And the onus of responsibility was not large. It was go to meetings and call other people and, you know, just listen and do what I was told. And that's what I did. And I got better and I got better. I got really better, in my opinion, and I got better pretty quick. And the best thing about this paragraph for me is that I'm starting to see in Bill, you know, I'm starting to see where step two is going to come into the picture. And I never thought that I was ever going to not only admit is a grudging word, I don't like to admit anything, but to embrace the fact that I'm a compulsive overeater of the hopeless variety. I'm never going to be anything other than that. I mean, I'm never going to be not that, but I can treat my condition pretty effectively. And I never thought I would get to that point. That was never obvious. But being a data-driven chick, I can say today that, you know, when I was reading this for the first time, it wasn't obvious to me. And even today, you know, 8 years later, it's not so much obvious as sort of a, a base truth. And thank you. And, you know, the one thing that I had to do by myself is the only truly hard thing, but it was the key to everything. Say it with me, surrender, surrender, surrender. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks, Lynn.
Thank you, Nancy P. For those of us who might have come on the line a little bit later, I'll just let you know where we are. We are continuing our study of Bill's story. On page 11, the fourth paragraph, had this power originated in him? And we're reading and sharing on that one paragraph. The line is now open for sharing on what we just read. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every Thursday so that others may share their experience too. So if you shared on Wednesday or Thursday, please step back and let others have their turn. And please say your name just once. It does help me hear everybody. Who would like to share?
Jennifer C.
ADG.
Okay, I heard Jennifer C. Katie G. Who else, please?
Melissa C.
Anyone else?
Amy MC.
Alexis F.
Okay. Anyone else before we start off again? No? Okay. We've got Jennifer C., Katie G., Melissa C., Amy MC, and Alexis F. Jennifer C., welcome.
Hey, good morning, Lynn. Good morning, everybody. Jennifer C., so grateful to be here with all of you this morning, if you can hear my enthusiasm. I just love hearing all of your shares and just what God has done for so many of us and is continuing to do for the rest of us one day at a time. Had this power originated in him, that word power, the ability to make something happen. Boy, do we try really, really hard to make this happen, right? And even in program, we spend so much time trying to still make it happen until we finally give up because we realize we can't make it happen. Even doing all the things, right? Like, there's something so miraculous about this process that we can't quite put our finger on. It's like, well, I'll tell you what I did. I can tell you what I did, but that's not even the whole story because there's something miraculous at work that I can't track back to a formula necessarily, right? It's power that is activated as I give myself to these simple directions, right? But here's what we know about Ebby. So Ebby was on fire for God, right? He got abstinent, sober through the Oxford group. He had some really basic concepts. He understood that he couldn't do this. God had done for him what he couldn't do for himself. He was on fire. He brought the message to Bill, and we know that Ebby didn't stay clean, right? So I'm the Bill and the Ebby. I'm the Ebby because I bring the message, but I'm also the Ebby. Because I can't just rely on that message and just think that it's going to carry me and just stay on fire, right? What happens when I don't feel the fire anymore? What do I do? Well, what Bill gave us was a very clear way to keep the fire burning. And it's through this process, the one day at a time, it's not just when we get it, it's how we keep it. And we stay zealous by carrying this message, by following the disciplined nature of this program. It's the one day at a time. That's the most powerful part of this equation, is the one day at a time. And I used to hear people on the line that had long-term recovery, and I would think, man, they say they're free, but if they're so free, then why are they still here? That's not freedom, right? Yes, it is. The freedom to know one day at a time that I'm only a bite away. But guess what? God delivers us one day at a time. And the power did not originate in him. And that's what we all have to understand, is that we are asking God constantly to do for us what we can not do for ourselves. We cannot make this happen. The ability is not within us, but God is the one performing all the miracles. So thank you, God, for being here with us, infusing all of this with power, which is what we need, the power plus the discipline. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Jennifer C. Now we have Katie G, followed by Melissa C. Good morning, Katie.
Hey, Lynn. Good morning, everyone. This is Katie G, and I'm a recovered compulsive eater in Boston. You know, my earliest memories are not of binging. They're of feeling really empty, of feeling like I should be somebody else doing something else with some other people at some other time. And I spent my whole life looking for power. I spent my whole life looking for you, for food, for being thin, for accolades, for college, for marriage, for babies. I just wanted some power. And, you know, for me, even within recovery, even as a recovered woman, I wanted power, I wanted prestige. And it wasn't until 5 years ago when I was on my Peloton bike and I looked in the mirror and I was like, the gig is up. I was incredibly underweight. I was thinking that the Peloton bike and the Peloton instructors, well, they were my God. They were my friend. And look at me. And don't tell me about being too thin. You're just jealous. And thanks be to God for the women in this recovery program who said to me, you know, you can't do this. You need to grow up. This is no longer acceptable. And thanks be to God for their power, for helping me get to a point where I saw the truth, which is that being emaciated, being underweight, having exercising, looking what I thought was amazing is not the goal of this program. I had a friend die at 70 pounds several months ago because of her, you know, quote unquote, commitment to the tools. And thanks be to God, I'm not dead today because I want to be thin. Secondarily, I think that for me as a recovered woman, I am so not cured. I still look for power. That's why I have a spot check inventory, because I'm looking for my husband to make me feel powerful. I'm looking for my friend to make me feel powerful. I get disturbed. I get jealous. And thanks be to God, there is a solution today, which is to look at myself, to look at my selfishness, my self-centeredness, my dishonesty, my fear, my jealousy, and say, okay, God, you are a power greater than me. I know you are. I know you're there. And to access that power 4 through 9 all the time and then go help others. Thanks be to God, there is a solution for me for today. It's not being thin. It's not getting out there and getting some power. It all comes back to God. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Katie G. from Boston. Melissa C., good morning.
Hey, good morning, Lynn. Thanks so much for your service this morning. I'm Melissa C. I'm a compulsive overeater. I live in New York and really grateful to be here today. You know, I'm thinking about this concept about where this power originates. And I think, you know, we're fresh in the new year. And I know for myself, I would have still been eating. You know, had I been out there, I would have still been eating, because Monday was going to be the day. It was always the Monday after New Year's. I could never start before it, because I had the false belief that the power was going to rest inside me, that it was and that I will make the decision come Monday. And maybe you're sitting here listening right now thinking, all right, I'll just listen. I'll sort of marinate in everyone's message, and then Monday I'll summon up my forces and I'll get some control and power and I'll put it into application on Monday. I'll wait till Monday. And if that be the case, then I don't think you've admitted complete defeat. And I remembered being there over and over and over again. And yet, you know, here we are today, right? And for me, it's the same as thank God for like any other day that I've lived in recovery. I just, you know, my responsibility, the only power that I can rely on within myself is the next right action, is I do have the power to seek God's will. That's about it. To make time for the power that does not originate in me to communicate with me. That's what this entire process is about. And for me, reading paragraphs that say that the power doesn't originate in me and it didn't originate in you and it didn't originate in him is so comforting, because then I no longer have to say, what the F is wrong with me? Why can't I get my crap together? Because that's how I always felt before. You know, and I'm blessed today. I'm going to get an opportunity to be with some of my siblings I haven't seen in a while. And one of my brothers in particular generally comments about how much willpower I have now, as he's like wanting to lovingly encourage me to eat something. You know, he does not have what I have. And so I remember him saying to me in the past, you have such control, you have such willpower. If you wanted to eat something here, I'm sure you could, and then you would just get right back on tomorrow. And, you know, I laugh inside because the power still does not originate in me. But the good news is that this higher power no longer makes me want to take that extra bite, knowing that I cannot get back in check on Monday. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Melissa C. from New York. Amy M.C., it's your turn, followed by Alexis F. Good morning, Amy.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Amy M.C., recovered compulsive overeater in Massachusetts. Oh, and yeah, I feel so blessed. Okay, bud, to be here and to be, as others have shared, not starting over because it's January 1st, not having to find, you know, not having to have the willpower, right? That's what really stood out to me this morning, is the idea of willpower. As other people have shared, you know, I still get, oh, you're so good, you have so much, you have such a strong will. And, you know, it depends who I'm with, right? Because I get to say and do one of two things. I get to either say, no, actually, it's because I have no willpower and because it's actually God doing for me what I can't do for myself. I can say that to some people, folks, you know. It depends, too. It's always my aunt, because she says that every time I see her, because we always gather for meals, right? I come from an Italian family. And she, you know, she probably has a strain of this, too. I'm not diagnosing her, but, you know, oh, Amy, you're so good. You know, her story is she got diabetes, and, you know, that's a different journey, and I don't need to share on her story. But what I can say is from my journey and my story is that I get to wake up, get on my knees, thank God for another day where I am not in a food fog. I am not hungover from food the night before. I am not eating over my feelings. I get to, as other people have said too, I get to touch it in 10, 11, and 12, right? I get to say when I'm irritated because it comes up, when I'm uncomfortable, when I have a disturbance. I get to, hold on one second, but, yep, hold on. I get the opportunity to call a fellow and do a 10th step and say, hey, I have a disturbance. Hey, I have a resentment. Hey, I'm uncomfortable. Hey, this feeling popped up. I don't know how to deal with it. Help me walk me through this. I don't have to pick up the food. I don't have the luxury, as somebody else was saying, as, oh, you can pick, you can have some of this, and I know you tomorrow you'll go right back on track. No, I know me, and I don't know if there's another getting back on track within me. So I get to give it to God and have that change, give praise where praise is due, and humble myself every day by saying, thank you, God. You have given me another 24 hours. May I be of service to you. Love, tolerance, that is my code. I need to carry this message to other compulsive overeaters by practicing principles over personalities and by having this be a program of attraction, not promotion. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Amy Mexi. And now we have Alexis F. Good morning, Alexis.
Good morning, Lynn. Thank you for your service, and thank you, everyone, for being here, especially the people who listen, because they're learning, and that's what the newcomers do, so I welcome you all. And I think this program was founded on various religions, religious beliefs, different and diversified psychologies, and the knowledge and findings and work of one man, William Silkworth. And he started to get theories from other people before he came to believe it, you know, in the obsession of the mind and the addiction to the body, in the body. I don't claim that I know the mind of God, but I know his heart, and I know that he's in my decisions and feelings, and I feel good. I just feel better since I've been in RA. Some people need more help. Some people need therapy. Some people need religious guidance from someone. Some people need various medical problems and, that keeps them from God. I sympathize with these people. When I first came into OA, my sponsor said to me, I was eating ice cream every day, and she said, she stayed with me a year, and she said, I can't wave a magic wand and make the ice cream go away. You have to find a power greater than yourself that's going to do that. And I started praying, God, if you're there, please help me to stop eating ice cream. This was 13 years ago. And he did. And then I started praying, dear God, help me to take the candy away. And he did that. And then I started praying, dear God, the flour, I'm having a problem with the cake and stuff now. You know, one habit replaces the other sometimes. And I found that myself, excuse me, answered my prayers. And when I quit smoking, I said to myself, God, what am I going to do? Because I really can't stop. And he said, you will. And that day I quit smoking 4 packs of cigarettes a day in one day. Yes, thank you. My husband felt like this program was damaging me emotionally. And after the divorce, I came back in, and I found my emotional state here. Thank you.
Thank you, Alexis F. And we have time for one more share. Who would like that time, please? About a minute left on the clock.
Kelly S.
Kelly, please go ahead. Good morning.
Good morning, Lynn. Hey, guys. Kelly S., recovered compulsive overeater in Bloomington in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Glad to be here. Oh, the shares. Thank you guys so much. They're so amazing. I just wanted to share real briefly about my own experience. It's like, you know, New Year's Eve, too, I had the same thing where I saw a lot of family and friends at a party, and people were coming up to me, and one of my cousins said, oh, my God, you're just so disciplined. You know, my first reaction is, I am so not disciplined. And then I thought, you know what the truth is? The book tells us God will discipline us, right? And I live a very disciplined life. I never freaking thought I would do that. And it's just amazing. This power does not originate from me. You know, I, you know, like everybody else, this would be the time I'd be looking for that next diet and eating all I could to start tomorrow. And it's such a gift that I don't have to look for that crap anymore. And this is the thing, you guys, if you don't understand this whole program, if you don't understand this God thing, I couldn't understand God. I don't explain. I wanted to understand God. I wanted to explain God. But guess what? I experience God every day because of this work. So I can promise you, I heard an AA speaker say that there's a 100% success rate for those of us who do it 100% of the time. So I love that other share that said, it's not about what we get, it's how we keep it. So every day I put down the food, I work these steps, and I experience God. So if you're like, well, it worked for me, we'll find out. Put the food down, start working the steps. And I promise you, if you do it 100% of the time, you'll get it 100% of the time. And what is that? You'll get this power that I could never find on my own. I live a life today I never freaking thought. And with you, I promise you guys, you too can do this because there is a power within each and every one of us, and I've experienced it, and I still can't explain it. And with that, I pass. Thanks, Lynn, so much.
Thank you, Kelly EYS. And thank you to everyone who shared, and thank you to Team Friday. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. And the share ID for today, Friday, January the 2nd, the 7 a.m. meeting, 23081. That's 23081. And we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And this morning, Tamara C. is going to read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Keep you until then. Please go ahead, Tamara.
Thank you. Tamara C., recovered compulsive overeater in Missouri. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
I'm not hearing the recording has been stopped. Is somebody handling that? The recording has been stopped, please. Okay, try one more shout out. Is somebody ending the recording, please? Maybe I missed that. Did anybody else hear it?
No, I don't hear it.
All right, thank you.
I have not heard it. They didn't do it yet.
Okay, thank you. Okay, I don't know who's handling that, but let's go ahead then. Yes?
Lynn, I'm going to log in real quick and do it. I'll do it right in a second.
Yep. Thank you. Sorry, everybody, we'll just take a minute.